John chapter 3 and we'll begin in verse number 14. If y'all would do me a favor, when I get to verse number 16, can we say it together? Now, I'll read till we get to 16, and then when we get to 16, let's all say that together, okay? Verse 14 says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already." Why? Because he hadn't believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning for allowing us to be here. Our friends that are here, thank you for Brother Scott. I ask you to bless him, bless his ministry, and Lord, continue protecting him as he travels up and down the road, as I've done many, many times, and I thank you for it. I pray, Lord, you'd bless those that are here right now. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. In John chapter number 3 and verse number 16, probably everybody in this room, if you've been in church any length of time at all, you probably could quote that particular verse. You probably learned that in Sunday school, vacation Bible school, wherever you were. If we were to strip the whole Bible and only had one verse that we could cling on, one verse, there is enough gospel in John 3:16 to save the whole world. One of the greatest truths of the Bible is God so loved the world. Martin Luther said he loved this text beyond measure. He said it's the heart of the Bible. The Bible, the gospel, the miniature Bible, all gospel in a nutshell. Frederick Lehman wrote these words and penned them to page. "The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen could ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his Son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin." The chorus goes, "Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints' and angels' song." John 3:16, a poor man can get saved in John 3:16. A poor man can have a chance in John 3:16. A sick man can be healed in John 3:16. A bad man can be saved in John 3:16. A dead man become alive in John 3:16. No other passage that says so much to so many and so few words. It's a volume in a verse. It's a drop in the ocean. It's a continent in a cup. 1 John in chapter 3 and verse number 1 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." God didn't love us because we were lovable. He didn't love us because we deserved it. He loved us because of his character and his omniscience and his love for this world. God reached down to where, ladies and gentlemen, there was nothing and made something. And he said, "I will love this world, for God so loved the world." The verse is so deep. The verse is so deep with truth. The greatest theologian will never reach the bottom of its depth. But it's so shallow that a child could get in and play around and wade in it and understand every word that it says. That Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." That's 25 words. 25 words. There's 12 words and then 12 words. And you'll take a wild guess. Just take a wild guess which word is in the middle. Son. Everything, ladies and gentlemen, revolves around the Son. It ain't about you. It ain't about me. It ain't about this church. But it's all about the Son. Amen. He that hath the Son hath life, and he hath that hath not the Son hath not life. You've heard me tell the story about the millionaire that lived way off up on the mountains, and he had a big old mansion, and he collected expensive paintings and all those kind of things, had him hanging all over his house. And he was a famous man. And he had a son. And because he was so famous, he protected his son from the outside world and influences. And a lot of people didn't even know the man had a son. And before his little boy died at the age of 12, he had a portrait painted of his son and hung it there in his house. That man, being a millionaire, had a butler that raised that boy from birth. And that boy became just like his own son. And it came a day when that son died, and all of a sudden, I told you about the picture and all of that, but then this millionaire died. And everybody got so excited because he was so famous, and he had all of this stuff and all of these paintings that were hanging on the wall, and they were going to have an auction. They were going to auction off his cars. They were going to auction off the mansion. They were going to auction off the Rembrandts and the whatever else was hanging on his walls. Millions and millions of dollars of paintings hanging on the wall. The auctioneer came on and they brought up down the painting of his 12-year-old boy that nobody knew who it was. And the auctioneer said, going once, going twice, and the butler that was in the crowd said, I'll give $5. The auctioneer said, going once, going twice, sold to the man for $5. The auctioneer picked up the gavel and he says, the auction is now closed. Everybody said, oh my goodness, what about the paintings? We don't know about this boy. Well, what about all the paintings? What about the mansion? What about the cars? And he pulled out a slip of paper and he said, this was the request of the owner. Whomever gets the son gets it all. Whom the son sets free is free indeed. He that hath the son hath life, and he that hath not the son of God hath not life. There are 10 main words in John 3:16. 10 main words. I told you there were 25, but there are 10 main words. God loved, gave, son, whosoever believeth, perish, have life. 10 main words that explains God's plan for salvation. If you went to Genesis chapter number 1, you would find 10 times God said, and God said, and God said, and God said. 10 times, that's God's plan for creation. Then you go to Exodus chapter number 20, you have 10 commandments. And those 10 commandments were God's plan for legislation. But then when you come to John in 3 and 16, we have God's plan for salvation. Only heaven knows how many millions of people from Adam's race all the way down have made their way to heaven through the way of John 3 and 16. There was a fellow by the name of D.L. Moody. You've heard me tell about D.L. Moody many, many times. He was in England preaching at one of the crusades over there in England. He met a young man, and that young man's name was Henry Morehouse. Henry Morehouse was a young man, and he loved D.L. Moody. And he went to hear D.L. Moody preach. And he told D.L. Moody, he says, I know you pastor in Chicago, the Moody Church, and the Moody Bible Church. And he says, I know you pastor over there, and I've always wanted to preach in America. He says, when I come over there, I want to preach in your church. And D.L. Moody said, well, you know, thinking in the back of his mind, this guy will never come to America. Sure, if you ever get over this way, stop by. We'll let you preach a little bit. Well, lo and behold, it wasn't too long that man, Henry Morehouse, knocked on D.L. Moody's door and said, here I am, I'm ready to preach. D.L. Moody says, oh my goodness, this young preacher probably don't know much, and I'm going to turn him loose in my pulpit. Surely he can't do much damage on a Sunday morning. And so I tell you what, son, you preach on Sunday morning. Boy, he got up and he preached John 3:16 with power and passion as tears come down his face. He gave the invitation and hundreds of people came and accepted Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. D.L. Moody was moved, and he was so moved that he said, son, are you free tonight? He said, yeah. He come back and preached Sunday night. And he preached on, guess what? John 3:16. He moved with compassion, and hundreds more came to the saving knowledge of the grace of God. He said, Moody started a big revival. He preached Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, went on a week and a half, and every night he preached John 3:16. Somebody came up to Henry Morehouse, the young preacher, and said, "Son, don't you know any other verses?" He said, "I ain't got over this one yet. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." Henry Morehouse said that I suppose I could climb Jacob's ladder and I could go to heaven's gates and my feet touch the streets of gold, I would find Gabriel and I'd say, "Gabriel, how much does God love the world?" And Gabriel would look at Henry Morehouse and say, "For God so loved the world." Henry Morehouse became known as the man that moved the man that moved millions. God so loved the world. Kids bring me stuff. Matter of fact, there was kids this morning bringing me different things. Sometimes they'll bring me a card and they'll bring me this and most of the time it's a card. It's got a stick figure and it's me up there and it don't have any hair on it. And he's got a Bible under his arm and it's me. And they're sitting there and they'll give it to me. And most of the time I'll just take it and I'll stick it in my Bible because people are wanting to talk and all of that. And I'll put it in my Bible. I'll read it later. And sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, I'm human. I'm human just like everybody else. And I forget. I get up to the office. I clean my Bible out. I say, "Oh, there's a card." And I put it in a drawer and I just shut the drawer and it just busyness. Matter of fact, I got stuff just laying everywhere because kids have took time to write me something or draw me something or make me something. So I'm sitting in my office one time and God just sort of thumped me on the head and said, "Hey, knucklehead." I don't know if he ever talks to you like that. Sometimes he talks to me. He probably needs to talk to y'all something like that. He said, "Hey, these kids took time to write you something. At least you could do is pull a drawer out and look at it every now and then." It come to my mind. God, I listen to God and he says, "It's just like us, ain't it? God wrote us something. And sometimes we throw it in a drawer. We'll pick it up on Sunday if we decide to come. Where's my Pentecostal side?" Sometime when we pick it up, we're like, we keep our insurance papers and anything that's important in here because nobody's going to mess with it in here. God says, "I wrote you a letter. You just stuck it in a drawer. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son." Let me give you just a few things. Number one, the cause. The cause is for God so loved the world. Before Jesus Christ came into the world, nobody ever dreamed that God would love sinners. All through the Old Testament, some of the pagan gods, the God of beauty, the God of lust, the God of war, the God of peace, all the small G-O-D gods of the Old Testament, the pagan world worshipped, but there was no God of love. Until one day Jesus stepped out from the portals of glory and he came down to this world. And when he set foot in Bethlehem's manger, he said, "For God so loved the world." The size of God's love. For God so loved the world. Somebody told me one time, said, "Nebuchadnezzar is the longest word in the Bible." I said, "No, the longest word in the Bible is so. For God so loved the world." The size of God's love. And number two, the span of God's love. For God so loved the world. Before you were ever born, God loved you. Even before your mother's womb, God loved you. You said, "Preacher, I'm not worthy," but I got a verse for you. Romans 5:8. "But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners." Stay in your seat. Don't get excited. I wouldn't be excited about this either. "For God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners." Guess what? Christ died for us. It's the size, the span. I can understand. I said this last week. I can understand how God loves these little kids. I can understand that, but how can God hang on the cross and look down to a bunch of people that crucified him and put thorns on his head and nails in his hands and feet and say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do"? That is the grace of an almighty God. There is the cause. But notice, I want to tell you, there is a cost involved. For God so loved the world, that's the cause. that he gave his only begotten son. That's the cost. You know, ladies and gentlemen, all through, you think about this. God spoke this world into existence, and 6 days and seventh day he rested, and he never left heaven to do it. Let me say this over here. God created this world in 6 days, and seventh day he rested, and he never left heaven. But to redeem the world, he said, I can't do it from here. I got to go down to where they was. Oh, he came to me. He came to me when I could not come to where he was. Hallelujah. He came to me. Came to where I was. All through the Old Testament, they did animal sacrifices. And all that did, every year it would cover. It didn't take away. It covered their sin for another year. They would come and it would cover their sin for another year. Cover their sin for another year. And then when John the Baptist looked, he said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. When he came, it didn't cover. It took it all away. Never to be remembered against you ever again. It was a supreme cost. Notice, his only begotten son. Now, some of the newer perversions, they will say his one and only son. Can I just help you right here on a Sunday morning, just give you a little teaching moment right here? One and only son, that's not correct. Jesus was not his one and only son. You say, preacher, I thought he was his one and only son. You must know your Bible very well. Because John 1:12 says, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. When I got saved, I become a son of God. Jesus is not his only son. He's his only begotten son. Very different. I'm a son of God. You are a son of God if you are saved. But Jesus is his only begotten son, and he gave his best. He didn't give the cattle upon the thousand hills, even though he could have. He didn't give the gold from heaven's mansions, even though he could have. He sent his only begotten son to the world. Here's a painting. We were talking about paintings a while ago. Here's a painting of Rembrandt. And you can't tell that from where you're sitting, but all the facial expressions that Rembrandt took time and detail to paint all of these. And Rembrandt would paint all of his stuff. And the art critics will look at this painting and go, Rembrandt, back off in the corner where you can't even hardly see. You have to really pay attention and see. Rembrandt painted himself in the portrait. And the critics would say, Rembrandt, you wasn't even there. You messed the whole painting up by putting yourself there. He said, you listen to me. The Romans didn't crucify him. The Jews didn't crucify him. He said, I realized that I was there because my sins was there. And he was dying because of my sin. And he was dying because of your sin. And he took my place. He said, yes, I was there. And my sins, which were many, are all washed away. But notice I saw the cause, the cost. But then there's a condition. The condition for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him. That's the condition. What is the condition? Whosoever. Somebody asked a little girl in Sunday school, said, what in the world does whosoever mean? She said, that means you, me, and everybody else. I read a story about a man. He's an old man, couldn't hear hardly very good, hard of hearing. His name was Mr. Klein. And Mr. Klein just wandered down the streets all throughout the day. He'd go down the streets and just walk around, and he just felt like nobody loved him. Nobody cared about him. Thought about taking his life several times. He's just walking up down the street, and he's just down on himself and depressed and this, that, and the other. He walks down the street, passes an old church, and the church was having service. And the church was having service, and they were singing an old hymn. He's out there. It's hard to hear, and he couldn't really hear what they were saying, but he heard them singing real loud at the top of their lungs. The congregation sang a familiar hymn, and the words went something like this. Saved by grace alone, this is all my plea. Jesus died for all mankind, and Jesus died for me. He was hard of hearing, and he was listening to that. Walking down the street, past the church, he stopped. And they sung the verse again. And when he got to that part where it says, Jesus died for all mankind, He thought they said that Jesus died for old mankind. He said, they're saying it about me. He went into that church and sat down. The sermon was about the love of God. He came down, accepted Jesus Christ as personal Savior. The preacher said, why, Mr. Klein, did you come in? He said, y'all been singing about me all morning. He said, Jesus died for all mankind. Somebody ought to say amen right there. Aren't you glad for that? And Jesus died for me, whosoever, as the person. But the plan of that, that believes in Him. Some say, well, just believe and everybody, everything will be all right. Listen, you don't have to be a Baptist, just believe. You don't have to join a church, just believe. You don't have to learn a foreign language, just believe. You don't have to pay your dues, just believe. You don't have to be a saint, just believe. You don't have to be baptized, just believe. You don't have to shake the preacher's hand, just believe. You don't have to sign a card and join and get one of the bananas and be one of the bunch. Just believe. If you want to go to heaven when you die, trust Christ. If you want to go to hell, trust anything else. Hallelujah. Oh, this sermon's going over real good. You got the cause, the cost, the condition. But let me give you the consequences. Know the consequences. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, and whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There's the consequences. You say, preacher, what are the consequences? Notice it says there's a promise of missing. Now, listen, I know some of you done full of Valentine banquet last night. I know you are, but look here. Should not perish. Now listen, try your best. Try your best. Just on this side right here. If you're saved and you know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. Now, listen to me real good and try your best. Don't get excited over this. But if you're saved, you're not going to hell. Let me get over here. Listen to me right over here. Listen to me. If you're saved and know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, try your best. Don't get excited about this or nothing. But you're not going to hell. He said, shall not perish. If you believe on Him, I will never perish. Well, if I'm not going, listen, there is a place called hell. Preachers don't preach on hell anymore. And if there was more hell preached on in the pulpits, there'd be less hell in the pews going on Monday through Saturday. We need more hell preached because people are dying and going there. Listen, in Luke 16, and in hell the rich man lifted his eyes being in torment. And he didn't have to go there. You said, preacher, hell. God would never send. Matthew 25. Matthew 25 says hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. Never was prepared for a person, a human being to go to. But because people reject Christ and the love of God and the Son that's right in the middle, people reject the greatest offer ever given and they will spend an eternity. You say, preacher, God would never send anybody to hell. Oh no, He don't send anybody to hell. You send your own self to hell if you don't trust Christ. I mean, what kind of deal? God says, hey, you're going to hell, but my Son came. He took your place and your pardon and your sin, and He buried them in the sea of forgetfulness. Would you like to trade lives with Him? You give Him your life, and He will give you His. Would you like to make that trade? Who wouldn't want to make that trade? He said, preacher, what if I don't want to make that trade? That's fine. It's free. It's a free country. You can make that. You help yourself. It's a free country. But if you do, you trample on the blood of Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son. Eternal life. I'll never perish. Well, then if I'm never going to perish, what is God going to give me? He's going to give me eternal life, an eternal life that continues without end. You say, preacher, can a person really know? Do you really know when you close your eyes in death and take your last breath here? Do you honestly really know that you're going to heaven? Well, let's bring the Bible in. I hate to bring the Bible in on it, but it is Sunday morning. Let's bring the Bible in on it. 1 John 5 and 13. These things, John says, have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that's people that are saved. If you believe on the name of the Son of God, I've written these things to you that ye may. Let me get over here. Is it on the screen? Do we need to pull it up a little bigger? I've wrote these things down that you believe on the name of the Son of God that ye may what? Know that you have what? Everybody in this room right now ought to know right now. If I come around and ask, just went around the whole room. Don't get nervous. If I ran around the whole room and said, you know for sure you go into heaven. The answer ought to be, preacher, I sure do. If it's any other thing than, you ask people, say, you going to heaven? Well, I'm working on it. Are you saved on your way to heaven? Boy, I sure hope so. Are you going to heaven when you die? Well, I think I am. I mean, I went to vacation Bible school a couple times. I got a few pens. You imagine that we're talking about being born again, right? So let's put this down in perspective. You're born the first time. I was born in 1973. You do the math, you can figure all that up. Born in 1973. You ever walk up on somebody and say, hey, was you ever born? Oh, I think so. Well, I hope so. Were you ever born? What's your birthday? Were you ever born? I think maybe. I don't know. Y'all laughing because that's a dumb question. Somebody said been married, and you're like, are you married? I think so. Are you married? Well, I'm trying to be. I asked a fellow one time, I said, are you married? He said, I'm afraid so. Now you're all laughing because you're thinking, man, that's dumb. Listen, are you on your way to heaven? It ought to be an emphatic yes or no. That you may know. This is not a matter of, okay, you got to wait till you get to heaven. And boy, if your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds, boy, I'm telling you what, you got it made. And if your bad deeds, boy, outweigh the good, boy, here you go. You're going down to the booger man. People are afraid to say the devil. They don't want to say the devil. That's where you're going. A place called hell. If you don't trust Christ, say, preacher, that's hellfire and damnation, preacher. Yes, and that's what I was raised on. That's what I do. And that's what I'm going to continue to do till the Lord takes me home. Amen. Got one fan. Hallelujah. Everlasting life. Brother Sammy's coming to the piano. Do you know for sure you're on your way to heaven? I didn't ask you if you was perfect. Ain't nobody in here perfect. I didn't ask that. Are you on your way to heaven? I didn't ask you if you joined a church. You can join a church and not join him. Are you on your way to heaven? Well, I remember when I got baptized. Well, you can go down a wet center, come up a wet center. All that thing does is get you wet. Just shows a picture. Do you know for sure? For the last three Sundays ago, I preached from Ephesians chapter 3. The depth, the height, the length, the breadth of the love of God. Last Sunday, I preached on Hosea and Gomer, the love of God. And today, one of the simplest verses in the Bible, John in 3:16, for God so loved the world. In the city of Chicago, one cold, dark night, the blizzard was setting in Chicago. little homeless boys out there selling newspapers. That's what he did for a living. Lived in a cardboard box down an alley under a bridge. The blizzard was coming in Chicago, and he didn't know if he was going to be able to make it through the night. Really cold. He found a policeman. He came up and pulled him by his pant leg and said, "Mr. Policeman, I live right down. You know where I live. Is there any place I can get out of this cold weather?" He said, "Son, you see that at White House on top of that hill right up there? If you'll go up there and just knock on the door. Just all you got to do is knock on the door. And a lady's going to come to the door. And when she comes to the door and answers the door, all you got to say is John 3:16. He said, "John 3:16? He said, "Son, just go up there, knock on the door, say John 3:16. He said, "Okay." He goes up to the house, knocks on the door. Lady comes to the door. He said, "Ma'am, John 3:16. She said, "Son, come on in here. Come on in here out of this cold." She took him into the living room. There was a fireplace, big old fireplace, a fire going. Two split bottom rockers. Set him down in one of those rockers, gave him a quilt, covered his legs. He's still shivering just a little bit. He had his hands out like this, warming by that fire. She went off to do something else. He sat there and he just leaned back in that rocker, starting to get warm. He said, "John 3:16. I don't know much about it. It sure makes a cold boy warm." The lady finally come back in the living room and said, "Son, have you had anything to eat?" He said, "Ma'am, I hate to put you out, but I hadn't had several days I hadn't eaten." She said, "You meet just a minute." She went in that kitchen. I'm talking about fried chicken, mashed potatoes and gravy, a chocolate pie with 2 inches of calf slobber on it, corn on the cob. She said, "Son, you come on in here to this table." He walked into there and he said, "There's a table spread where the saints of God are fed." He sat down at the head of that table, little fella, and he ate and ate and ate till his belly pooched out. He ate more than what he could hold. He sat back in that chair, in that kitchen chair. He said, "John 3:16. I don't know much about it. It sure makes a hungry boy full." She said, "Son, when's the last time you had a bath?" He said, "Ma'am, last time I had a bath was in the summertime when the firemen come and unplug the fire hose and we stand in front of the fire plug and get wet." She said, "Son, come on upstairs." She took him upstairs in the bathroom's old clawfoot tub, a big one. It already had been warm, had already warm, soapy, hot water in there. Had a towel, a wash rag, everything that he needed. She said, "Son, you get in there and you take a bath." He got in there, splashing around and washing around. He'd look out the bathroom window and the blizzard was coming down. The snow was frosting over the glass of the window. He said, "John 3:16. I don't know much about it. Sure makes a dirty boy clean." He got out of that bathtub and she had him some pajamas laid out. He put on them little pajamas. She took him in the bedroom, guest bedroom, but a king size bed. Never seen a bed that big. Big fluffy pillows, feather bed. He just slid on in there. And her, like an old grandma would do, tucked him in there real tight, you know, when they tucked him. Grandma told another quilt on top of you so you can't move. Boy, he's sitting there. Before he went to sleep, his eyes closed. He said, "John 3:16. I don't know much about it. But sure gives a tired boy rest for the weary soul." He got up the next morning. She took him in the kitchen, that same table. Man, there was biscuits and gravy. I mean, pancakes that big around. Eggs and bacon, ham. We're going to have to hurry up and get done. I'm making myself hungry. He ate again. She said, "Son, what do you know about John 3:16? He said, "Ma'am, I don't know nothing about it." He said, "I asked that policeman. He told me to say John 3:16. I come up here and said John 3:16, and that's all I know about it." She said, "Son, come on back in here in this living room. Sit down in that rocker. I'm going to sit down in the other one." She went over to the bookshelf over there, took out a big family Bible. She turned to John 3:16. Hallelujah. She put her finger on it and said, "Son, look right there. For God so loved the world, that's you, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's you, that believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Son, there was a man named Jesus. It came to this world to die just for you. He said, "Ma'am, will he save me?" She said, "Son, he sure will." Tears coming down his face right in front of that fireplace and that split bottom rocker. He bowed his head and asked Jesus Christ to come to his heart and save him. He got done with his little prayer and said amen and amen. He leaned back in that rocker. He said, "John 3:16. I know a little bit about it now, but I don't know it all. But it sure makes a lost boy saved." Can I tell y'all something? I got called to preach when I was 18 years old. Fought it for a little while. I was singing on the road, Bashir family. I fought it. Started preaching. I was 19 years old. I'm 51 today. I preached John 3:16 many, many times. But listen to me. I still don't understand John 3:16. After all the many times I've preached it, sung about it, I can truthfully say I still don't understand the depths of John 3:16. But I do know this. Sure makes a lost boy saved. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning for allowing us to be here. Lord, I pray that, I know the day was a little different and we had all the special music and it has been wonderful. John 3:16, a simple verse. God, it wasn't that I didn't have anything else to preach on. It was just I couldn't get over.